When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
8 o'clock hour as the show hopefully flying by. Caitlin is doing the double fist pump. She's happy as heck to get up out of here like everyone else. Peace-a-thon tomorrow. Tremendous job by the fellas raising all the money and the funds for My Possibilities along with the experiences. We will be a part of that. Right now, I'm Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell with you on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Jerry Jones. Man, this will be a nice change of pace. Talking about a win with Jerry live at 8:30 this morning. But because of the abbreviated week, we do have to move it forward to the New York Giants. A 37.5 is the over-under. The Cowboys are favored by 4. Bobby, take us inside the film room with your scouting report.
Boy, this is a quick turnaround. I don't like how tight this turnaround is when you're having Kramer. Luckily, it's the Giants. And the Giants are a pretty easy study in terms of just they're bad. So we talk about with Dallas the fact that like they've remained competitive in terms of their effort that they're giving. They're giving competitive effort every week. You're starting to see with the Giants not a lot of competitive effort. Like you're seeing people checking out on that football team, checking out on, you know, Brian Daboll specifically. One guy who I don't think has checked out and a guy that I think is a pretty good player for them. And has proven to be a good player, and it's going to sting, it's going to hurt because of what it meant for the Cowboys, and that's Tyrone Tracy, their running back, who is the rookie out of Purdue. He was a guy, he was a receiver at Iowa and had transferred to Purdue and was converted to running back, similar to the way Tony Pollard was. Tony Pollard got to Memphis as a receiver, transitioned to running back, and that was somebody Cowboys liked a lot. That was like the one running back left on their board when it got near the end of the fifth round, and he got picked up 6 picks before them something like that.
Dude, these brought us notes. He should set up a paywall for this.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Get his Substack.
Even on just Tracy, he said, an area where things have worked out for him is the left side. He scored all 3 of his touchdowns there. He has 15 of his carries that have resulted in a 10-plus yard run. And 5 of his 10-plus yard runs have come by attacking between the tackles off the right side. That is just a glimmer of what he sends every single week and does.
He's a beast. There's no doubt about it. Fun fact about Tyrone Tracy, the last player I gave analysis for in the draft show on day 3.
And when did he go? What round?
He went the 5th round.
So you just did, you decided that was, to cut that was, 2 rounds short of work.
That was the running back that got picked that then we were like, well, what running back are you going to take? And it's like, well, the running back. And then that's what set up.
That was the last running back homework you did or player?
No, that was the last player live I analyzed on the air before. I then was just like, I got
before
other
you went
stuff
in the back of the room and made your comments and got kicked out of the show.
Yep, exactly. See, you know. But no, Tracy is Tracy's a really good player. Tracy is really like I would be.
He's on top of it.
I know,
right?
You called him out. That's why you call people out. The Giants can actually run the football pretty effectively at times, and so I think that that's going to be that should be their mode of attack. Malik Nabers. This is the wild note I looked up. I was kind of studying him, and I was looking at different things. Nabers hasn't had a 100-yard game since Dallas. That was the last time that he had 100 yards,
and it's screwing me in fantasy.
It's not just that. 4 of his 5 highest output games from a yardage perspective this year were the first 4 weeks of the season. And that, like, I mean,
teams just playing him different.
So you've seen some attention roll this way. One of the things the Giants did really well early on in the first matchup that Dallas had, they create easy matchups for him. Daboll does a good job or did trying to like create easy looks for him, move him in motion, get him going certain ways, like take advantage of the coverages and put him in a position to where he's going to get easy catches on the move. There's not a lot of that right now. And I don't know if it's just again, a tanking situation, or if because of some of the issues they've had with the offensive line and some of the injuries, if that's changed things. But they don't. I'm not noticing him getting schemed up nearly as much as he had been.
Broda says Giant quarterbacks have not thrown an interception when Neighbors has been targeted 319 routes. He's going to be lined up the majority of his snaps out wide. Also going to play in the slot where he has 15 catches. And all three of his touchdowns have come off him being lined up off the left side of the formation. His problem has been with tight window throws. Mm.
If you want to beat Dallas, and if you want the draft pick, we've talked about the tanking, what you need to hope for is they're going to move Malik Neighbors around the formation more like they had been in the past. They're going to run the ball with Tyrone Tracy and get him the ball out of the backfield on some swing passes. And then defensively, you just got to hope that pass rush that the Giants have can overwhelm the Cowboys while their offensive line has been depleted. Cowboys, obviously, they've been trying to get the ball out quickly to try and compensate for some of the issues that they've had pass blocking with the injuries that they've got. But the Giants are pretty overwhelming with how quickly they can get to the quarterback. They've got really good rushers. I mean, Kayvon Thibodeau is really good. Dexter Lawrence is about as good of a pass rushing nose tackle that's existed in the NFL. I've thrown out the note before, but last year there was a point where the second leading player in the NFL, the second leading nose tackle in the NFL in pressures, had 6, and Dexter Lawrence had 34. Leading the NFL. He is unlike anybody at the position in the NFL. He's absolutely fantastic, and he can wreck things quickly because he's on the interior. It's a quicker shot up the A-gap. He can get to the quarterback quickly and kind of make some trouble for them. So I think the pass rush for the Giants, kind of teeing off, playing things in press, they play a lot more man than a lot of other teams do. Man is not a very common coverage scheme in the NFL anymore, but they still play like...
Why is that?
A lot of teams go to zone coverage, force the quarterback to make reads easier. A lot of the press man stuff has just kind of fallen by the wayside ever since, Seattle had dropped some of that. But they've got a good pass rush that can really cause problems for Dallas. And so I think what you're looking at here is they're going to sell out to try and just break through the line of scrimmage and take advantage of Dallas's offensive line. They hope at that point maybe they'll be able to generate their second interception of the season. They have 1 right now, Giants defense, which feels like awful, impossible luck. But that's the big thing. For the Cowboys, they're going to want to get the ball out quickly. Probably a similar game plan to what they did with the Commanders, where they want to just get the ball out quickly, run the ball a little bit, because you can gash this Giants defense with the running game.
Bobby Belt with his Inside the Film Room preview, 1/2 of the Love the Star podcast, where you can get through all the Odyssey options. RJ Choppy, 5 things you want to see.
More of the same is 1, but also less of the same. I want another entertaining football game. I would like for them to blow it in the end, ideally. They tried on Sunday, but I want them to do what the 2024 Cowboys have not done, and that is finish the job. 2, more Zeke. If you want them to lose, more Zeke. Right? Start handing up to Zeke.
Oh, we're doing this the opposite way.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
You want them to commit to the tank, if that's what you want to do. But seriously, the 3 carries he got were probably perfect. It's probably the perfect number.
Yeah.
You know,
that's normal
backup.
Yeah, that's normal rest for your primary running back.
3, I'd like to do it again. A Turpin slant route. You know, I said this last week, but maybe let's try it again.
Well, they ran a lot the other day against Washington.
But not today.
He's got I looked it up this year. He's at 4. Oh, that's what he's at. That's 4 routes that he's run this year. He's been targeted on them twice, and
so
he's got 80
after
yards.
After the touchdown 2 weeks ago, they ran, I was being sarcastic, they ran 0 slant routes for him.
No slant routes for him. In fact, he's not run that many routes period this year. I was kind of surprised to see how little he's been involved in the route combinations. But yeah, he's had 4 routes run on slants this entire year and was targeted on 2 of them, has caught them both.
I need 1.5 slant routes per quarter from him. forget the fact that they haven't run it. Forget the fact they haven't run it and not thrown to him. They just haven't even run it. That to me is the criminal thing. 4, I put this down before post-hunt clarity because I wanted more Josh Butler. But you said maybe he wasn't as good as we thought.
He's good. He played a good game. It's just he was not shut down. They were able to pick on him a little bit. He came up in big moments.
The watch of the game live, I was like, all right, that's deserving of another 40 snaps.
Yeah.
That game was deserving. He deserved another chance, a good effort, he's earned it. And then number five, learn when to go for two. We all know Dan Quinn messed it up. And I think Mike did too. I think Mike did. Bobby thinks Mike did too. These are what you call the little things. They may not have much of an impact, you know, in the totality, but when you least expect it, that extra point could come into handy.
And we all believe the Cowboys are winning this game. I do.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the fact that he said the Giants can run the ball effectively kind of scares me because this team really doesn't handle the run at home very well. But I do think they get their first home win of the year.
All right, there it is. Little Cowboys Giants preview Thursday on this radio station. We'll go out to New York with a guest at 9:20 before crosstalk with KMC. Mavs, Stars, and Menendez. Why are we still talking about these dudes? Followed by Jerry Jones live at 8:30 next on The Fan.
The 8-point lead was short-lived for the Mavs. Late in the quarter. There is one foul to give here for Atlanta. A drive and finish! Letting them know, Jaden Hardy, that was a strong finish.
That was the call last night on Channel 29. Jaden Hardy starting, scoring 23 points. No Luka, but Kyrie Irving right now is the man. As the Mavs go in to Atlanta and beat the Hawks, it's Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Jerry Jones live at 8:30 this morning. And what's going on with Kyrie payment that has been coming up over the past couple days?
Yeah, this timing is a little bit weird. So on Friday afternoon, Tim McMahon was talking, one of his podcasts, and he had started talking about the Kyrie contract situation that's upcoming. He's got a player option that he could, you know, decline or accept. And he started talking about, look, he's revered there in Dallas. They love him. But that there's this contract buzz that's out there of just, they're going to have to probably pay him soon. And he's in all likelihood going to decline that option, and they're going to have to come to a deal. Windhorst then goes on ESPN on Friday afternoon right after that.
Doesn't it feel like they just gave him the new deal? Mm-hmm.
Without any sort of setup with the McMahon thing, just in an NBA segment, and starts talking about, he said, yeah, this is something where they like him there, and he likes being there, but y'all, they're going to have to pay up. And it feels like, okay, isn't that pretty obvious? But it's the timing of it. They're both commenting at the same time. Is somebody from Kyrie's camp like, hey, y'all need to remind them payment's coming? Like, that's going to happen. And it's obvious that he's going to have to decline the option, but you are apparently going to have to give him a decent raise in order to keep him here. And they've both talked about it's unlikely he would leave because he loves it here so much and they love him. And McMahon called him the unquestioned leader of the Mavericks locker room. That's who everybody rallies towards and looks up to. But it feels like Kyrie's camp is a little bit kind of just maybe floating out there. Hey, man's coming.
Yeah.
And you got to be ready to pay it.
He's 32.
The biggest thing for him is if he goes somewhere else, is he going to have a better chance of winning the NBA Cup somewhere else?
I saw somebody suggest this. I can't remember who it was on Twitter the other day, that if he stays here for four more years and he has the positive run that he's had here, and let's say the Mavericks are able to win a title during that run, like they were talking about, like, I think you're talking about Kyrie might be going up in the rafters here already. Like, just in terms of talking about the leader and the guy who helped bring Luka along to the title.
If you win a title, you're probably going to go. Yeah.
I would have honestly expected that there would have been more buzz about Jet going in at some point, but that hasn't happened. So I don't know how picky they are.
He got a Celtics tattoo, right? No,
that's yeah, right. That's true.
Five goals in the third, wipes out the Stars' 2-goal lead in Carolina. Pete DeBoer called it self-inflicted. Once again, not scoring on the power play, going 0-for-3, but then allowing two Carolina power play goals and letting in a shorthanded one and essentially another shorthanded goal at the end of a power play, and they lose 6-4. So, man, this was a hurricane. That's what it was.
It was a hurricane.
We know Carolina at home. And there is the Spits and Suds podcast for more hockey.
Chop, you got the expected goals from Money Puck for this?
I do not. Could you do you mind giving it to me?
2.93 for Carolina to 2.56 for Dallas.
From now on.
Okay.
From now on, when the Stars come up, turn his mic off. Every time. I'm not joking. Yeah. Cut it off. I don't want to hear from it. Don't want to hear it. Take that to Major Tutty.
Anti-analytics guy over here.
Back
we
at
got,
it.
We got Grady Fuse on.
Back at it. Tomorrow night in Chicago.
Adapt or die.
Hey, speaking of hockey, man, Peyton says, be careful before you adjust your breakfast order.
Oh, my God. Biz Nasty, huh?
What happened?
Peyton, you had the story? You the one that sent it?
Yeah. Paul Bissonnette, that NHL analyst on TNT, was, I guess, either jumped or assaulted by six or seven guys at a breakfast place in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Was it a breakfast place?
There was an altercation with, he had a video, 3-minute video explaining it all, but yeah. Six on one. And it was an altercation with a guy, and I guess a staff member, and Paul tried to be the middleman there. And so he goes up and he says, hey guys, cool it. And the guy said, you know what, let's take this out front. And then he got jumped from him.
Paul's not the guy to pick a fight with.
Yes, he is. We saw this coming. It was 2 weeks ago he had that breakfast order. Where he was making all the substitutions. Yeah. He probably tried to do the same thing here.
It was probably the wait staff.
And they beat him down for asking for, can I get bacon instead of the sausage? And then do you just have like a French toast? But like, I don't want any powdered sugar on it.
I love how he says he took some, he gave more in the fight.
Yeah. And this is the Coyote. Like, I was like, would the Coyote fan base be rough?
They're gone. They're in Utah now. That's the Utah Hockey Club.
The Utah Hockey Club. Okay, maybe they're just bitter. They lost their hockey team. They're upset.
Yeah, they're upset. Like Arizona State's facility is empty now.
Yeah, this guy looks like if his head and his face looks like it could have any semblance of cauliflower ear, stay away. That's the first tell.
That nose has been in a lot of fights.
That nose has been in so many breaks. Why are the Menendez brothers in the news every single week? What is going on?
Well, the start was that you know they were going to reopen their case and try to see if they were going to not retry them, but resentence them and decrease that sentence.
By the way, he went to dinner at Houston's. Okay, so he wasn't ordering any McGriddles. People were at the bar. It was a ruckus. Bunch of golfers. Things escalated. They asked one guy to leave, and then one guy kept getting in the manager's face, putting his hands on him. You could tell he was a little surprised. It's a family restaurant. I don't think anyone's going there. I grabbed the guy's arm. That was on the manager. If you continue to assault the staff, we're going to have problems. And then just started chucking. So, dinner at Houston's.
Man, after that guy whacked the other dude over the head with a golf club about a month ago, you can't fight. You the golfers, man. They're a dangerous
fight. Fight spilled on over to the street, over to the CVS.
So, got it. Eric and Lyle. Eric and Lyle Menendez, they have this, like I said, this retrial that they're trying to do, a resentencing, but that's going to be delayed till 2025. Now, the reason is all this is because evidence came out that their father, like, grossly abused them sexually for years.
Yeah.
And to the point where they just snapped. And the mom was just, like, looking the other way or, you know, not necessarily doing anything like that to them, but just turning the other cheek. And that was something that in the mid-early 90s was like, that wasn't looked on at the same way that it is today.
There's this girl that is on this reality show now. I think she killed her mom, but her mom, like, did the most effed up stuff.
Oh, yeah, you know what's the name of her? Yeah, it's like Rosemary or something. Yeah. Like, what the hell's her name?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. What's her name?
Anyway, it made me feel...
Gypsy Rose.
And it made me feel like Gypsy Rose, I get it.
Yeah, so it changes the dynamic of everything. So they're sentenced to life. Now, the reduction is they would reduce their sentence to 50 years to life. Now, this was 1989 when they gunned down their parents. And they were convicted, you know, a little bit after that. So you're looking at a chance for them... At the 30-year mark, so if you have 50 years to life, the chance at 30 years to get paroled, this would expedite their parole.
Let's celebrate for a change and preview Thanksgiving with Jerry Jones live on Sean and RJ next. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. And it is now time for the Jerry Jones Show, brought to you by your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. I always like... getting the preview of Jerry's table for Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
With
sour peas.
With the peas and duck.
That's right.
I want to know, though, like, the biggest dish change that Jerry has had, like, over the years, right? Over time, something different gets introduced differently on your table, right? Like, for me, I'm going to inject and brine the turkey. Now, that's been done, by people, but maybe a fried turkey has made it on your table. Maybe people are putting mac and cheese now on the table. Like, what is the big dish change that has happened on your Thanksgiving Thursday?
When I was a kid, like when I got up to teenagers, we moved over to the fried turkey after years of just doing it in the oven. And it was a game changer. It's just, it's so much.
You told Carter yesterday you don't like Thanksgiving food.
I don't. But, like, I mean, in terms of that, that's also because I can't fry a turkey anymore. I don't have a house to do that, Sean.
That's right. You should do it in your apartment. But it's just all a favor.
Oh, gosh. That's hurtful.
Frozen. No. A frozen one.
A frozen one. And you?
Dish change.
Or something off the table. You're like, this is too old school. Get rid of this. Or you introduce something.
You know, I still don't eat any of the candied yams, anything that's
potato.
No, don't eat that. No marshmallows. I don't eat the cranberry sauce. I'm still turkey, stuffing, dressing, mashed potatoes. I guess, you know what? Maybe mac and cheese has entered at Thanksgiving.
There's a lot of people who claim that's not part of Thanksgiving macaroni.
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is, but it's there and I enjoy it, but I don't think it's traditional.
I always...
It wasn't... Well, the pilgrims didn't have it.
I always put it there. We don't do the... I had pecan pie a lot growing up. Kristen can't do pecan. Addison can't do pecan. So that's like left our table, which is a bummer to me because I love pecan pie.
I love it too, except like if you could tone down the sweetness a little bit. You know what I mean? It's so sugary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But every time I bite, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I should have this more often.
Going to Specs today to pick one up.
Are you?
Yeah.
Specs.
Specs.
The liquor store?
Yeah. So they have these... They're like
pecan pie specs.
Yeah, you buy them. They're at the counter. They don't even refrigerate them. That's how much sugar and preservatives they have in them. It's fantastic. They just leave them on the counter, and I just grab one. And
are they known for their pies at Specs?
Yeah, they've made them since the '60s.
What?
Yeah, ever since they basically opened the store.
Wow, did not know that.
Yeah, I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah, and it's just it's like I think the store was like founded in 1962. That's what it is. $19.62.
All right. I think Jerry was late with you guys last week.
Yeah, a couple minutes. It was like meetings. 8:35, something like that.
Meetings here and there. Mm-hmm. So we will preview Thanksgiving, New York Giants with Jerry Jones right now on the home of the Dallas Cowboys with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm doing great this morning and really excited about these coming next few days. I tell you, we not only have this huge game coming up, but... The game itself is one of the highlights of everything. When we go before as many as 70 or 80 million people at times over the last, I think it's almost 30 years that we've been doing this with the Salvation Army, they know that when we make that presentation out there with that red kettle, we are a part of 4.5 million volunteers in this country. Salvation Army gives us credit for incrementally raising over $3 billion since 1997 because of the visibility of that game. And so we served 166 million meals, Salvation Army did, and those dollars in that red kettle are the reason that they can financially support that. So this is a big day. Lainey Wilson's out there with be our big halftime entertainment. She is absolutely one of the most talented people I've ever been around, and we're sure excited about that. So I want to get that said because sometimes we get to talking about other things, and I miss probably as important a thing as the Cowboys have ever done.
Yeah, it's a great event. It's a great tradition. I wonder, has the league – ever tried to get you and Detroit to spread the wealth and get out of the game on a yearly basis?
Well, that game was an orphan for years, and nobody wanted it because it was hard to get people to come back in the day because they wanted to stay at home on their Thanksgiving Day, which we all understand. But the Cowboys took it on. Tex Ram, give him his credit, he took it on. But the one who made it into the national event that our game is, as distinguished this game, this time of the afternoon, was Charlotte Jones. And Charlotte got Dick Ebersole to promise not to cut away at halftime Dick Ebersol said, if you'll put a Super Bowl type performance out there, we will keep it right on that. And in that way, celebrate and emphasize what the Salvation Army has done and is doing and can do. So, yes, one time they've talked about after it had had several years there with this Thanksgiving Day celebration we have, someone brought it up, and I think it got 4 or 5 votes because of the job we do and the visibility that we have. So, anyway, it's to not be trite about it, it is a significant thing for everyone concerned. It, we have a lot of reasons to sometimes be critical of professional sport or be critical of the financial aspects of it or be critical of the people that write the checks or whatever.
Nah.
But at the end of the day, this is where professional sports can really take care of a lot of people that can't help themselves. And I'm really proud of this.
Jerry, you know, you got your Thanksgiving off to a great start with the victory over Washington on Sunday. Are there any games you can think of during your time with the Cowboys that had as wild and unpredictable a finish as the one you got on Sunday?
No. I can't imagine. And as a matter of fact, the timing of it, you didn't have time to soak in what had happened to you or what you had done to them. And it was going so fast and furious. But the thing that I would point out, though, is our team did play well enough to win. And all day, even in that first part of the game, we were shooting ourselves in the foot. But, boy, you could tell our defense was starting to be where Mike Zimmer wants them to be.
Mm-hmm.
We had some guys out there that were not players that we necessarily thought we'd be going with. 10 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, younger players, players that you wouldn't thought you would have had out there, but they knew what to do, and they knew where to get to do it, and they believed in the system and in themselves, and I'm so proud of that defense. I'm so proud for Mike Zimmer and sticking with it this year, and I can tell you we're getting better, and we're going to get better, and we've got a chance to get better out here Thursday, but hats off to that defense out there for a job well done.
Absolutely. Jerry Jones here on The Fan. Jerry, what is specifically clicking with the defense, or is it Mike's familiarity? Is it the guy's understanding? Is it a combination? Is it them getting used to his personality? Why is the defense clicking so much more now?
No, I put personalities, I put things like that way on the back burner. Those are things that you start hearing about, talking about when you're having hard times. And everybody's always asking, well, are you losing the team? Are you? And I'm being condescending. I know I sound that way because that's not where it is. Where it is to be in your lanes that you're supposed to be in. Do your job. Be where you're supposed to be. Read what that play looks like. Remember where you're supposed to go. And that's what it's about. If everybody would be where they're supposed to be, can have lesser talent, but have more execution and more success. And there's no doubt that we can play better than we have played for most of this season. But there's no doubt that we're getting better at what we're doing. And I think that you saw the results of it out there. And hopefully we'll continue to see the results of it. We need the repetition. We need to be playing. Those guys need to be out there, and they need to be winning the down. They need to be winning the play, and we need to be winning the game.
Jerry, I want to highlight Turpin for a second. Just talk about that play, that touchdown. Talk about what you're feeling, that ball's in the air, and what he has brought to you guys on special teams specifically.
Yeah. Now, here's your case. As you know, he came from the XFL.
Yeah.
And here's a guy that has, each year, has just stepped it up. Now, you obviously see his speed and his gift. And, boy, he has the ability, his acceleration, Deion Sanders kind of acceleration. Now, again, I get in trouble when I make a comparison. I don't want to say he's got that kind of acceleration, but he may have something, a first cousin to it. Let's put it like that. And so the bottom line is that he knows how to use his speed or his acceleration. Two different things. One's straightaway speed. One's acceleration speed. He has them both. And so and we're trying to continue, if you notice, continue to get that ball to him in our offensive packages. And his disadvantages is his size. But you saw him take it to the house there on a slant 2 weeks ago. And so bottom line is that he's a great weapon for us. He can be a real part of not just special teams, but offense as well.
Jerry, y'all had Dan Quinn here over the last few years. Obviously, he takes the job in Washington. Has done good, you know, done really well up there. When you play a former coach, do you take, like, do you relish beating them? Do you take a little bit of added energy into the game, or is it more bittersweet?
No, I think it's I'm all for Dan. I really personally like him and enjoyed the time that we were. He was here in Dallas. He deserves, really deserves any success that comes his way. He's a hard worker, very hard, and unique in his personality, and has really done a good job. I've always just hated it for him that he didn't get that Super Bowl that he had with both hands with a firm grip around it and still didn't get that Super Bowl. Otherwise, you're talking about a Super Bowl winning coach. So bottom line is that, yeah, it was good to be playing him. But I think the word would be respect. We had a lot of respect for what we were up against and knew they'd been playing well and were having a really top year. And we're proud of all of that. But, of course, we needed a win worse than we needed our next breath. And that was a good one to get it on. Yes. It added to it because of the respect we have for Dan.
Jerry Jones joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. What's been the biggest difference, home versus road? You guys are 4-2 on the road. You can't buy a home win. What has it been about the road this year?
Well, a lot of it is your opposition's got a lot to do with that. We've played some strong teams here at home, boy. That Baltimore team you saw last night, that's no slouch. And they're good. That Philadelphia team we played here at home. Now, that New Orleans team, when we played them, they looked like world beaters. But my point is, we played teams that were really clicking when they came in here at home. That's one thing. But still, you have to beat those teams, and you have to know that you've got to play at a level to get them. But I would say that it's been one of the biggest disappointments that I've had, and as it should be, that we can't play better at home. We're going to start playing better, and again, this isn't rah-rah. We could start right out here Thursday and play better. If we play better, we'll have a home win.
Jerry, this was a quote from Mike after the game. He said, "I don't plan on tanking. If the higher-ups are looking for a draft pick, I hope that's ruined because we got a lot of football left to play." What's your reaction when you hear Micah say something like that?
Love it. Just absolutely love it. And Micah gets criticized for some of the things that he says. But the way that was articulated is strong. And it was just a succinct statement. And it's the way that it is. We have a young team out there on that field, very young. And we've got some inexperience out there now because of the numbers of injuries that we're dealing with. That'll be better this weekend. I mean, that'll be better Thursday. It'll sure be better 10 days, 12 days from now. Now, that group of young players we're going to be playing with for years to come, they need first downs. They need move the chain. They need touchdowns. They need success on that field, big tackles. So we need to be winning or trying to win, obviously, every down. Now, for those that don't understand tanking, it means that you get the lower your record is, the higher that you get to draft. that has not come across anybody's mind in this organization. Now, somebody's going to take that and say, well, that's your problem. You got your head up here, you know what? You don't realize you need to be playing for a higher draft pick, Jones, and you'd do a little better in the draft. Well, I get it. I get all of it, but it's critical to us to get out here and compete. Those guys will be there for us, the ones we want when we get there in the draft.
So the GM, obviously the owner and the competitor in you wants to win. Does the GM in you never looks towards the draft during the season?
No. An answer, but certainly not under these circumstances this season. We have some really, in my mind, we have an outstanding future ahead of us. We have, not to take anything away from the guys that are going to be playing the rest of the year, but we have one of the top quarterbacks that's played this game, in my mind. And you build around that. We've got an offensive line that we all know how Dak has benefited from this offensive line during his career. Well, we are in the process of, if you will, kind of rebuilding that offensive line. We've got two rookies out there playing in the offensive line. And another second-year guy playing in the offensive line out there. That, as you see, is problematic for immediate success. But those areas right there give us such a promising future. And, of course, I like our skilled people that we've got for the future. We'll add to it. We'll add to it with for the draft pick. Now, more than likely, we'll have to end up having somebody. I don't know if we'll have all 31 draft ahead of us, but we'll have a lot of teams draft ahead of us. But we need to have young players come in here at that draft level. We'll have them come in here, and we'll add to what we've got. But we're going to benefit from these players getting all this play time this year.
Jerry, out of curiosity, just outside of you guys, even when it's done in other sports, do you agree, or do you have a very passionate response towards the idea of tanking? Do you understand what teams do, or do you just have a competitive problem with it when others do it?
No, and I know you had a long question, and I gave you a one quick no. I just think the game is too important. The win is too important. You know, you look at a coach, and boy, a coach is sitting there. He's don't think they don't add up their wins and losses during their career. And they don't like to have a loss on there if they can just ask for it. And so my point is, for all of us, a win is a very satisfying thing under any circumstance. And it helps you build. And so there's a lot of ambiguity with those draft picks. I've had draft picks that were extraordinarily high that didn't work. I've had them low that knocked it out of the park. And so you've got to weigh what happens when you get the picks and the odds of you knocking one out of the park there as well, as opposed to winning a game.
Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones joining us here on Sean and RJ on 105 Through the Fan. Jerry, you talk about the pieces that you guys already have in place that have you optimistic about the future. And in my opinion, and a lot of others, we felt like that was the best coaching performance that you've gotten for the team all season on Sunday. I don't know if anyone's even asked you this, but is it crazy to think that at the end of this season, we could be talking about an extension for Mike McCarthy?
Well, I don't think that's crazy at all. That's not crazy. And listen, Mike McCarthy's an outstanding coach. I was listening to the game last night, watching it, and Aikman was talking about it, and he's reiterated that several times publicly, this Super Bowl-winning coach. And Mike McCarthy has been there, done that. He's got great ideas. So bottom line is that in no place in my body language or anything else have you seen indications about what we're going to be doing relative to this staff at the end of this year. And we shouldn't. We got a lot of football left. I used to play 10 games in college. And so if you measured it by that, we've got 60% of a college season left. It's longer now, of course. But, boy, six football games, that's a lifetime.
Jerry, one of those football games, you got the Giants coming up this week. They received a lot of national criticism over the last week for the way they handled the benching and then the ultimate release of Daniel Jones. Has there ever been a time where you moved on from a player and you didn't necessarily regret the decision, but you felt like, man, I wish I could have done some things differently in the process of moving on from that player?
Well, first of all, the exercise of moving on from anyone is not fun. So it very seldom is got a positiveness to it. I think maybe sometimes when a player retires, you could call that a recognition of a great career. And you might have some positive thoughts in general. Not playing anymore is a hard time. And certainly moving on from someone that can play some more but not going to be playing for you. Now, we're used to it because of the way that you deal in contracts and players get out of contract and for whatever the reason of it doesn't fit. And it could be many reasons. It can be talent, but it can also, as you well know, be cap, be management of your roster, which is part of the game. And so all of that is not good. And candidly, some of the most difficult things for me personally is sitting down with someone and saying we're going to go in a different direction. That's hard.
Jerry Jones here on The Fan. A lot of big names on the injury report with Diggs and Zach and Tyler and Ferguson. Could you just provide us with any type of update that you can, Jerry, on their availability for Thursday, some of those guys?
Yeah, I can't. I think we have to look at what happens when you play a game on Thursday after playing on Sunday. And it always is a stack up there. Because you've got guys that if you were playing 1 week, a full week later, might not be on that injury report. But it also gives you the 10 days after that to really get well. And you're seeing some of that. But, you know, everybody should be hesitant to use injury as an excuse in the NFL. And the deal is the next man up, you can tell it by voice. There's a condescending part of that voice. But let me tell you one thing. We've had a train wreck this year with our availability of players. There's no question about it. And you can start right there at the top with Dak. And so there's been some good work done relative to how we have dealt with the unavailability of our players and a bunch of them. We're going to start be getting a bunch of them back. You saw some of them back last weekend. You'll see some of them back this week. And you'll see some more, really see some more back the next week. And that's why we want to really take advantage of an uptick here and put some wins together. This thing isn't over.
Jerry, congratulations. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for the time, as always, and go get them Thursday.
I can't tell you how many times this conversation flashed through my mind when I'm sitting up there and we're winning that ball game. I've won that ball game. Okay? I don't believe I've slept getting ready to talk to you guys on the phone with a win. When I first got involved, we won one football game our first year. And I'd been warned this guy came in to do a real gut cut on me in the news. And so, boy, he came in and he was asking the roughest questions. I spent about 30 minutes with him. Then I took him back and I had one football, and it was Herschel Walker. And Herschel had signed it, but also on the football, it was the one win we had in 1989 to that year. Only one win. And I looked up there, and after we were through, I walked him back there, and I showed him that football. And it must have been as though I were dealing with the king's crown. I was so proud of it. And he starts laughing, and he said, my God, said, I've never seen anybody so proud of one win in your whole professional career. You got that one win. I said, man, I'm proud of that win. Y'all guys know something? I'm still proud of that football.
We were happy about it, too, for the interview as well. Congratulations and happy Thanksgiving, okay. Man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jerry Jones brought to you by North Texas Ford Dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. Let's react to that and other NFL overreactions or not. Washington is missing the playoffs. Philly's going to get the one seed. Houston's losing the first round. Choppy has it for you next.